In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Catholic faithful, in the Gospel of the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, we are confronted with a situation of Jesus we know from our life often enough. It's normally the difficult situation for us when we know a certain commandment or law of the Church and we are willing to fulfill it, to realize it in our practical life. But in opposite to that is another law, another commandment. And we are then in a conflict situation. What has priority? If we have the chance to fulfill both, we have, of course, the clear duty to do this diligently, of course. But sometimes they do rise situations where we are not able to do both at the same time. And then the question was, what has the advantage? What has to be done? And what has to be neglected, forced by the situation? And we read in the Gospel, Jesus was invited in the house of a Pharisee, a chief of the Pharisees. And this man has obviously heard about Jesus. He had possibly even the internal desire to hear Jesus speaking, to learn to know his teachings. Or it was a simple curiosity, a human one. Doesn't matter. Finally, he has invited Jesus, and hospitality is important. And so Jesus has come into this house, and there was a man has been suffering of dropsy. And he had the dropsy, and Jesus has obviously consciously used the chance to open the eyes in a concrete concern to the Jews. He was also a Jew, and he has also observed all the laws of the Judaism in that time. And the Sabbath was a holiday in the Old Testament. And we know God has created the world in 6 days, as the Holy Bible is explaining us. On the seventh day you should rest also from your work and give God the glory. And there were lots of prescriptions for the Jews, and Jesus has seen that they do exaggerate often enough. For them, the character seem to be more important than the spirit of the law. And Jesus has used the chance, the opportunity now, has risen, and he has asked the present, being present Jews, is it permitted to heal this man on a Sabbath? It was a Sabbath. And then Jesus has healed this man, and he said, when you have a sheep or an ox and is suffering, and you save that so it can survive. And here we have not a creation, an animal, but we have a man. And that's why for Jesus was the situation, and for the people were present, there are the commandments of the Sabbath, and they were very important. And all are obliged to honor the Sabbath, to honor God. But on the other hand, at the same time, there was a man And Jesus has seen that this man had dropsy and was suffering. And possibly tomorrow there will be no more an occasion to heal him. But it was also a sort of provocation. Jesus did want to provoke the people to reflect about that. And this is also a lecture for us today, too, of course. And Jesus has decided, and for him, obviously, saving a person was more important than the holiday of the Sabbath. And we are also often enough in our life in an analogical situation, but Jesus gives us the key for a better understanding, for finding an answer, a solution. Do ask what is more important. Do ask what is essential and what is not really essential. And what is, as we used to say in Latin, sine qua non? Without that, the church or my life or salvation cannot happen. And what is on second place or on third place? And Jesus said, no, salvation of the people, helping the people, is more important than, in that case, the Sabbath. And in our situations, in our lives, we come into a situation, for instance, we see there are prescriptions of the church for abstinence and for eating less food on certain days, abstinence on Friday, but we can come sometimes into a situation where fasten is pretty difficult for us, and we ask what has the preference. And church says when someone is very hard working, when someone is sick, when someone has a weak health, then he must be prudent and he is dispensed from a strong fasten, for instance. Because we have to be prudent and wise, and we have to recognize what are our abilities. Do always fasten, but a person is strong physically and has lots of power, can fasten stronger than a person is weak and cannot tolerate a very strong and strict fastening, of course. And so the church says there are exemptions possible. And for instance, the pregnant women or mothers are feeding breast their children. They are more or less completely dispensed from fasting by food, but you can compensate it by another sort of fasting. Do never ignore it completely, but have a rich fantasy and find something you can compensate, what is possible for you. Or, for instance, we do also know this law of the church, of the Eucharistic fasten, the 3 hours when the Mass starts after 9 a.m. in the morning. So 3 hours. But we are sometimes confronted with cases, they are pregnant women, and they say, and this is true, that harmonically, from the hormones, there is an explosion in them. And they have a strong hunger sometimes or during the pregnancy. And then they say, I cannot survive. I must eat much often than only all 3 hours. And we have simply to respect this. And then some pregnant women, they must also eat. And women, mothers who are feeding, breast their children, they are also in a biologically exceptional condition and situation of their body. So, and sometimes women say, I cannot survive. I cannot keep the 3 hours without food, real food. So then the priest has the right and is really willing to give a dispense, because it seems to be wiser. It would be simply imprudent and even stupid if somebody would say no in such a case, the woman, a pregnant woman, 9 months, and then 6 or 8 months feeding the child. So you cannot go to the Holy Communion. No, the Holy Communion is for our salvation. It's much more important than the character of a law. We have to respect the spirit of the law. And so we see on these examples how Christ is teaching the church us how to treat such cases. Be never ignoring a law. No, we can always find an alternative sort of fasting, for instance. But this is applying to many other cases are not mentioned here, but we are confronted with them, and then let us adopt the same principle. What is essential? What is sine qua non? What has the priority in the eyes of God? And what has a higher weight? Which law, which commandment, which decision of the church? And now I want to adapt this principle also to a case with traditional Catholics are also confronted often enough in our life today. So we say, analyzing the situation and the sins against the faith of many authorities in the Vatican II sect, we say, no, this man, actually Francis from Argentina, cannot be a pope because he is denying the full faith of the fathers. He is denying the holy tradition of the church. He is acting consciously against the principle of the tradition of the church. And he is willing to eliminate the ancient Roman Rite Mass generally. For him, it's an evil in his eyes. And when a person is acting against what is Catholic on essential level of the teaching of the church, then we say, we are sorry, but this man can generally not be the true pope. And those bishops in the Vatican II Church can have no legitimacy because they follow such a wolf, yeah, appearing as a sheep. And so we have the sad situation of sedevacants. And then we speak sometimes with people, they do belong to the conservative wing inside the Vatican II Church, and they are accusing us of being not Catholics. They say, no, you do not accept the Holy Father, the Pope. That's why you are not a true Catholic. A Catholic must obey the Pope, and the Catholic must accept the Pope. And you can generally not be a Catholic if you don't obey and accept the Pope we have now. And this is Jorge Maria Bergoglio, calling him Francis. And we can also say here, this is the same principle. What is essential? What is the fundament of the Holy Mother Church. We know Jesus Christ has made the act of salvation, and he has told the apostles, and he sent them out and said, go until the end of this world and preach all people, all nations, all I have taught you, and baptize them, and let them all keeping all what I have told you. And here we see the holy faith is the basic of the church. The holy faith is what the church has and what by the church is existing. We cannot imagine a situation when someone will lose the holy faith but will stay Catholic. It's simply not possible. It's the oxygen, the air we do breathe, and is giving us supernaturally the life. It's like the water for a fish. Without water, without being in the water, a fish cannot survive. We know what will happen when we take the fish out of water. Few minutes later, every fish will die. So the faith is simply the fundament of the church and of our souls. Without the faith, it's not possible to stay Catholic, to stay a Christian. And on the other hand, the good question, can the church exist without a pope at the moment? And here we must give a clear response, yes. Usually the church has a pope, and this is also our desire to have a pope. But it can happen and rise extraordinary situations in the church where the church is losing a true pope for a moment at least. And we had such cases more than 250 times in the history of the church. Every time or each time when a pope has died, there have passed at least few weeks, sometimes several months, and sometimes even several years before the next pope was elected. And in the meantime, there was a situation of sede vacance, and the church has continued to be the church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. It has not given up own existence of the bride of Christ, as bride of Christ and as the true church of Jesus Christ has founded. So this is an extraordinary situation in the case, and we have today an extraordinary situation, unfortunately, without being guilt for that. So analyzing this, adopting this principle, we must say, sorry, when you say this man is the true and valid legitimated pope, then you are not Catholic. Because you follow a wolf appearing as sheep, and he has not the true faith. And those conservative faithful inside the Novus Ordo Church, they agree, they do also suffer that the Holy Father, as they say, is not completely Catholic and is saying sentences are against the faith. They do know, they do feel, they do agree, but nevertheless, but this is a contradictional situation for them. And but on the other hand, when we, in order to save our connection to Jesus Christ and all ancestors in faith in the church, or faith in the church, then we stay Catholic, even if we cannot accept this man as true authority in the church. And with all the consequences, this is a sad situation. But on the other hand, as is said in the Gospel of St. John, Jesus said, you will recognize the truth, and the truth will make you free, in the 8th chapter of this gospel. So only then, when we are united in Christ, and first of all, we are united with Christ when we have the true faith of the Catholic Church. Over all centuries, saving it, and doesn't matter what the other people are thinking, these are the basics, because the church, and this we must make clear in our mind, the church can simply never survive without having the true faith. The faith Jesus has told the apostles and has given them the commandment to teach all nations all over all times. So this principle is important to be reflected and meditated, and then we can adopt it in different situations we are confronting in our lives. But we see what are the basics, what are the essentials, and follow them first, accept them first. And many people today say, if we don't have a pope, and don't have cardinals, how should be elected a future pope? Yes, it's a good question, but it is not the main question in the concrete situation. For us, the main question is how to confess the true faith and how to spread it. And when the time should come, according to the providence of God, he will show us ways and occasions. But we cannot follow a secondary question ignoring the main one. So may the true faith console us, keep us in a deep spiritual relationship to Jesus Christ, our divine Savior, and then we can grow spiritually and tolerate all the crosses, all the obstacles in the life the world is doing and preparing for us, but we grow then spiritually, and the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ will console us and lead us to the heavenly house we have the destiny to participate on. Amen. Et benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maniat semper. Amen. Praise be Jesus Christ.